We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Senator Lincoln is calling on the WTO agricultural negotiators to scrap their original text and start the process fresh. And she also says the Senate's unlikely to approve an agreement that does not remove trade barriers that already exist around the world. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. Hey, it's National Farm Safety and Health Week. All week long, we'll concentrate on keeping farmers, farm workers, and motorists safe during this harvest season. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $4.56, a penny and a quarter lower. March at 4.75 and three quarters, down one. And the bank futures at 4.88 and a quarter, down one and one quarter. Hard red in Kansas City finished at 4.69 for the wheat, down 3 cents. Back in Chicago, corn pit now $3.16. The settlement price for the harvest month December contract down 2 cents. March at 3.29 and a quarter, down 2 and 1 quarter, and the May at 3.38 and a half, down 2 cents. July futures 3.47, down 2, and the September corn at 3.55 and 3 quarters, down 1 and 1 half for the 2010 contract. Soy complex now November beans $9.13 and a half, with the final trade of the day down 27 and a half cents. January at 9.19, 26 and a quarter on the settlement price. The March at 9.22 and a quarter, down 24 and a quarter. And the May futures 9.23, down 20 and 3 quarters. July soybeans $9.26 and a half, down 18 cents. And the August at 9.21 and a half, down 17 and a half. October bean meal $2.81.90, down $8.10. October bean oil at $33.77, down 91 cents. October live cattle futures $84.97 and a half, 57 and a half cents lower. September feeders at $97.15, down a dollar. And the October lean hogs at $50.15 settled 65 cents lower. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, nearby October contract, $69.71, a settlement price a barrel down $2.33. October ethanol at $1.62.2 on its settlement, up 7 tenths. The natural gas still trading, 358 and 3 tenths. That's down 19 and 4 tenths for the day. The RBOB at $1.75 and a tenth, 8 and a tenth of a cent lower. And the heating oil, diesel fuel, is $1.75 and 2 tenths today. Its current trade down 7 and 1 half cents. October propane futures at 98 and 6 tenths of a cent, up 3 tenths of a cent. And the gold futures today, a settlement price at $1,003.70. Down $5.50. The Dow now stands at 9,789, just about 31 points lower. And the U.S. dollar at 76.77 is up 0.34 for the day. The CRB index at 254.31 is down 5.68. And the Goldman Sachs at 455.61. That's down 13.31 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. From our own meteorologist, Daniel Pounder, he says this evening in western and southern sections of Illinois and Indiana should be mostly cloudy. A chance of showers elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy with some patchy, dense fog. Lows will range from 57 in the north to 68 in the south. And then tomorrow, says Mr. Pounder, in northern Indiana, partly sunny skies. Elsewhere mostly cloudy, some periods of showers, few thunderstorms. Highs will range tomorrow from 74 in northern Illinois to 83 in the south. The extended forecast says an unsettled weather pattern is in store for the Midwest this week, with frequent chances of showers and thunderstorms. The heaviest rainfall totals will take place across Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, eastern Kansas, and eastern Oklahoma. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is the closing market report for a Monday afternoon. It comes to you via Illinois Public Media. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon to you too, Todd.
Hey, so let's talk about the marketplace. You know, I think farmers probably are pretty anxious about this market as we head into the harvest season. Usually it makes them happy, despite the fact that they sometimes, oftentimes have lower prices, but things have really changed over the last 6 months. What do you have in the way of good news for them? Anything?
Well, if you're one that's got a crop revenue policy or crop revenue insurance in general, you know, the good news is we're going lower where we might be able to collect on the, due to the lower prices. Producers don't know whether they want the market to go up or down right at the present time. Right now they're kind of rooting lower into October, then higher after that. Good news wise, though, would be on the yield side. Some earlier harvest reports are better than expected, and that's what we need to hear some bushels to work with, because it's going to be a real challenge to survive this atmosphere if you don't have the bushels to work with. Then, on the other hand, we've been hearing that there's been some early harvest activity that's taken place, and we're looking at anywhere from 12 to 20% damage. There's some areas where they've had a high infestation of mold and even reports of sprouting taking place in the corn. So I think producers are anxious to get going here and see what they have to work with and deal with in the first part of harvest, at least, Todd.
Hey, just one note here, and it's off subject a bit, but on topic to some extent. You talked about disease problems. There are also some insect problems. A note was sent out to the extension educators in Illinois today, and I think most folks who were out over the weekend will have noticed what they thought were gnats, but they were really a nuisance, and they were swarming pretty good in northern and central Illinois. I don't know whether you ran into them or not, but these are not gnats in general. It's the soybean aphid, and they're moving out of the soybeans into their overwintering quarters. So just to let folks know what those are, and that's one of the problems that producers in Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota tend to have a problem with soybean aphids from time to time. And now you know why. It's a little aphid, and it's a sucking bug, and the first thing it does, even when it lands on you, is to probe you and see whether you're worth eating or not, I suppose. It likes soybeans and not humans very much, but it still stings a bit when they manage to reach out and grab you just a bit. So
I didn't run into them personally, but my van did. We did our best job to take a few of them out. They did some on our local station here, and they had some knowledge of people on that. I kind of believe it's aphids, but you're right. And they said that the count, I can't remember if it was just in our county or what, but the count was like 7 trillion of them. I mean, it was a huge amount.
No, I did not hear that, but they, you know, I think this is right. They can produce about 13 generations.
Wow.
Throughout a summer. And so the aphid can really come up in population. Now, the other thing, if I remember correctly, and the entomologist here will call me later and tell me if this is wrong, but I believe that a good rainfall will drown most of them. So if we have rainfall, or at least a pretty heavy rainfall, we can get rid of a lot of the aphids, but that's not been the case. We've had dry weather, and so up their populations come. So let's talk more about what's happening in Chicago and what producers might be able to do. You want to take up the corn pit for me, down 2 cents in the December, $3.16 the final price on the afternoon?
Well, corn is a moral victory, only closing too low with beans down and hard on the day. It kind of feels like we're in a seasonal downdraft in here. Seasonally, we have a little bump into Labor Day weekend, then we sort of trend lower into 1st of October. Harvest activity sort of picking up, and that's sort of keeping a lid on it. But yet, too, we're starting to see some demand surface here. I mean, it's not standing in line to push prices sharply higher yet, but it kind of feels like we're sort of drifting sideways to a little bit lower here to see how these early yields come out and see if this demand base comes forward to absorb the early part of the harvest activity there, Todd.
You know, we will have harvest that is long and drawn out, and what that has meant in the past is that basis has stayed fairly strong just because the corn doesn't come all at once. Are there ways that producers could take advantage of this, do you think? And will it happen again that way this season?
Yeah, we feel harvest is going to be strung out. Like you say, it's all maturity in different times. But, two, the moisture content is going to be relatively high. Some of this disease or fungus or concerns, they're going to have to harvest at a wetter stage. It's just going to take time to run it through the drying process. And so, therefore, we don't see a big widening of the basis in here. In fact, there ought to be maybe some spurts every now and then to give a guy an opportunity to get some moved if need be. If quality is the issue, I think producers would be anxious to move it into the channel versus trying to store it as bin. In that case, we feel we need to be replacing sales on paper. There's some creative strategies out there. Just about every broker advisor has a different turn or twist to it that will fit your own individual needs to sort of get you in the game in here. Because once we get harvest wrapped up here and we look a little longer term down the road, we feel demand's going to resurface and there's going to be some upward price swings. In order to play catch up, we feel we need to have some type of replacement. Now, we're not endorsing not selling a kernel and just hanging on to the cash, but we feel the biggest bang for the buck going into 2010 will be some type of replacement strategy on paper.
Did you pay much attention to the outside market today? For instance, crude oil closed below $70 today.
Yeah, we've seen crude down, heating oil down, even natural gas was down. Your metals were lower here. It seems like the crude oil market's in a trading range. It gets into the mid-70s. We find some selling interest, and we get down into the mid-60s. We see some buying interest. Some of your key oil analysts have projected that OPEC's kind of comfortable with that trading range in here, and we'll see if that range develops. We have the October going off the board here fairly quickly, so November will be the next month, and they're pretty well in line in here. The main thing in the energy complex is there's more fear or not we're going to see some forced liquidation due to the amount of contracts that some of these hedge funds or ETFs can trade.
Kurt, thanks much.
Very good. Take care.
Hey, Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Blanche Lincoln says trade negotiators should write a new agricultural text for the Doha round because other nations so far have proven unwilling to match previous U.S. offers to cut farm supports. And Lincoln adds, the Senate is unlikely to approve a World Trade Organization agreement that fails to remove barriers to U.S. agricultural exports that exist around the world. House Republican leaders, all GOP Ways and Means Committee members, and other Republican colleagues are calling on the office of the U.S. Trade Representative to quickly establish benchmarks for the U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement so the pact can be considered by Congress. In a letter to USTR, the Republicans complain that critics of the agreement have called for further progress on labor rights in Colombia before the agreement can move forward, but have failed to provide any specific recommendations to make that a reality. The U.S.-Colombia FTA has been languishing since it was signed in 2006. A survey by Open Europe says a controversial EU draft law on hedge funds and private equity could initially cost the two sectors between 1.3 billion euros, that's $1.9 billion, and 1.9 billion euros, while investor returns could also suffer. The rules, which could be adopted in 2012, are designed to try and prevent further crises, but have come under heavy criticism from the hedge fund and private equity industries, as well as some investors, for imposing what they see as unnecessary burdens. The survey was carried out last month and covered hedge fund managers running $342 billion and private equity managers controlling more than $204 billion. Analysts say that U.S. soybean and soy meal shipments to the EU will remain on hold for at least a month as European Union authorities decide whether to relax a zero-tolerance policy on unapproved genetically altered grain. Several shipments of U.S. soybeans and soy meal found to contain residues of unapproved GMO corn have been blocked at EU borders this summer, and most shippers at the moment appear unwilling to risk a similar fate. The 27 EU nations bought a total of about 2.2 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans in the 2008-2009 marketing year, which ended on August 31st. That amounts to roughly 6% of U.S. soybean exports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week, both programs you can listen to anytime you'd like at our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, make sure you subscribe to our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page. Don't worry, if you don't like it, you can unsubscribe just as easily at willag.org. Now up next, you know it's National Farm Safety and Health Week. The National Safety Council is reminding farmers and ranchers to take care during this harvest season. I'll have more on the nation's most dangerous job. Farming's dangerous. Nationwide, more than 700 farmers and ranchers die each year in farm-related accidents. That fact, along with 120,000 disabling injuries the National Farm Safety Council tallies, makes agriculture the number one most dangerous industry in the nation. And while the numbers have gotten better over recent years, farm safety specialists are worried about the late harvest season this fall. It means farmers and farm workers will be pushed and consequently tired. That's when fatal mistakes happen, says University of Illinois Extension Specialist Baba Heron.
They get out and start pushing themselves very hard, maybe working 10, 12, 14 or more hours a day, getting less than 6 hours or so sleep a night, and not taking very many breaks. And what that does, it physically fatigues us, and when we become physically fatigued, it causes mental fatigue. It can lead us to making mistakes we normally wouldn't do if we were well-rested and had taken a break every 2 to 3 hours. And it's important to do that sort of thing because if you're not mentally alert with the kind of things we deal with around farms, the kind of machines that are fast-moving, powered by very powerful engines, that if we get caught in them or something, it's going to be relentless, usually, and results in pretty serious injuries and many times death.
The death rate for farmers and farm employees is about 29 in 100,000, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's an 18% increase over the previous year. The 2006 injury rate for farmers and farm employees was 6 in 100. Scientific research shows the best way to avoid becoming one of the statistics is to get a good night's rest, 6 to 8 hours of sleep.
If you get less than that, you're you open yourself to higher risk of making mental mistakes that can result in injuries.
Or death. The point is simple. When the crop finally matures, those souls bringing in the harvest need to stop every couple of hours to take a 15-minute break and to get off the tractor or the combine at night and to go to bed and go to sleep for 6 to 8 hours. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Time now to check in on what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash grain markets. Greg Johnson of the Andersons joins us from the Champaign County offices. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, get your 6 to 8 hours of sleep now, because pretty soon you're not going to get them. Boy, I didn't get them last night. I went down to the Cardinal-Cub game.
That was a late one, wasn't it?
Oh, that was a late one, and you know, I meant to go back and check and see what that last play was, where the Cardinals didn't win it, and they should have. But I assume he interfered in some way. I was way out in the outfield, and it sure looked like it was a good one, but I'm sure they got the call right. So
I'm not sure in the big picture it's going to matter. I think they're far enough ahead that...
The Cub fans were really happy, I have to admit. That's okay, too.
Well, I'm a Cub fan. I'm not sure if I would use the word happy, but...
Well, dude, there's always next year.
There you go. Wait till next year. That may be what we have to say about these grain markets, too, is wait till next year.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it looks like it's wait at least... If not till next year, until next week or next month or something, I don't know. We've been for a month marking time here, and I guess, are you of the opinion that we're just going to keep marking time for a while?
Yeah, early frost would be about the only thing that would get this market excited. You know, we continue to hear better than expected yields in some of the traditionally poor soils that have been harvested in Tennessee, Kentucky, places like that, southern Illinois, southern Ohio, Pennsylvania, areas that typically don't have 200 bushel corn are coming up with 200 bushel corn, and that's pressuring the market. You know, unless we get a frost, there's a lot of corn in the Dakotas, for example, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, that have not reached maturity yet, and so a frost prior to October 5th or 10th would definitely trim some yield, but until that happens, we just continue to hear about better-than-expected yields from down south, and that's pressuring the market.
Maybe one way or the other, the northern, if the north end of the Midwest gets clipped and they're doing pretty well down south, maybe that'll be a wash. If that doesn't happen and we end up with a larger crop, do you think USDA will find usage for it and that the levels we're at this point are good enough to maintain through at least the coming months?
They bumped up usage last month, and some
the
people,
previous one.
Yes, and some people are questioning that, you know, whether their crystal ball is working or if they just don't want to show that big of a glut. So I think we will have to work lower if they do raise the production side of it. They may try to, you know, stimulate demand or bump up demand a little bit, but I think the trade will look at the higher production numbers and say we probably need to go lower, and, you know, that will definitely generate more demand if we get this corn sub $3.
Yeah, I got 30 seconds. Are your bins cleaned out, and what are your bids for the day?
We will be cleaned out. We've still got a couple trains left to go here in September before the harvest starts, so I think we'll be in good shape come October 1. Right now, cash corn is $3.11 for September, new crop $2.98, January $3.14. Beans are $9.13 this month, $9.08 for October, and $9.04 for January.
Wait till next year, baby.
There you go.
Hey, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson with the Andersons. Back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather.
It's National Pecan Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1756, John McAdam was born. He invented macadam pavement for roads. In 1816, as surveyor to the Bristol Turnpike Trust, He remade their roads with a raised carriageway to improve drainage. Stones were graded and laid in three levels, with the smallest stones crushed and laid as a top surface. By the way, the macadamia nut was named for him. In 1921, a huge explosion at a fertilizer factory in Germany caused 500 deaths. The fertilizer was a 50-50 mix of ammonium nitrate and ammonium sulfate, which together had a tendency to clump. It was a routine to use dynamite and bulldozers to break up the clumped fertilizer, but this time the TNT set off an explosion of 4,500 tons of fertilizer, which created a crater 250 feet in diameter and 50 feet deep. In 1961, Earl Dixon died. His wife had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. Dixon devised a way that she could easily apply her own dressings. He prepared ready-made bandages by placing squares of cotton gauze at intervals along an adhesive strip. Dixon worked at Johnson & Johnson as a cotton buyer, and his home idea led to the mass production of Band-Aids. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Time now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. On the line with us from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is meteorologist Mark Russo. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about rainfall here in the Midwest. Looks like it's a changeable forecast.
Yeah, well, we do have waves of rain here moving across the Midwest today in association with a closed, what we call upper-level low, which is currently situated over the plains, and that low is basically going to sit and spin across much of the plains region as we go through this week. So that'll send out more waves of rain here as we go through the week. However, it looks like the heaviest rainfall total is actually going to be further south and west of the Midwest, particularly in the plains, hard red winter wheat belt, as well as the Delta area. So, yes, some rain, or at least more than what we've seen here in recent weeks, but not quite as wet as what the plains, hard red, and Delta are going to be.
I suppose those folks out there wouldn't mind a little drink. They got off to a pretty decent start with their planting season.
Yeah, especially for much of Kansas and Oklahoma and then down through Texas. Dry conditions prevailed, especially across Texas, throughout much of the summer, which is a trend of what's been in place here for actually dating back a couple of years. But now with El Nino in place, that's helped to at least spin up more rain across areas of the southern plains. That looks to persist here, so that's establishing a very good soil moisture profile as we start planting.
Now, persist is one of those things that producers probably would not like to see here in the Midwest with a persistent rainfall in the fall. Is that not, or will it be the case? One of the two, I suppose.
Well, at this time, Todd, we feel that the further south you go, that would increase your odds of potentially wetter conditions. More so Delta versus Midwest, which tends to be a kind of El Nino theme in general when El Nino is in place here as you go through the fall time frame, tend to have your wetter bias across areas of the southern U.S. But further north that you go, the drier the conditions. We've seen that to some extent here this growing season, most likely that will continue into the autumn.
No reason to fear frost at this point?
Not at this time, at least through the end of the month. A couple of cool shots coming down, but nothing that would produce sub-freezing temperatures across the Midwest. During the first few days of October, there are indications of at least colder air working its way in. However, those indications are very debatable. We saw indications for that this week, which overall here, the forecast or the temperatures are going to verify warmer than what was some of the concerns here about a week ago. So something to watch. But definitely through month's end, no sign of any problems.
Farmers in China should be getting into the full swing of harvest. How are things going?
Yeah, they're faring very well across eastern China. No sign of any wet patterns developing. And overall, early harvest progress will be rapid here through the end of the month.
And while things aren't really ramped up to full force in South America for the planting season, are they setting off for a good start?
At this time, they are, Todd. Argentina, which, as we know, has had been hit by dryness here over the past couple of years, they've seen an increase in precip over the past couple of weeks. More is on the way, and that's establishing a better soil moisture profile for Argentina. And also Brazil getting good rain, too, starting off their season.
Thanks much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. They join us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.